And take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, Revelation 6, and we are now on lesson number 18. If you need lesson 18, please raise your hand, and the fellows will bring you a lesson 18 all the way here in the front. Phyllis did not get one, so somebody bring her lesson number 18, please. Anyone else need lesson 18? The Altar of Martyrdom, lesson number 18. We continue in section 4, covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11, entitled The Awful Judgments of the Book. And lesson 18 is about the Altar of Martyrdom, covering Revelation 6, 9 through 11. All right, our memory verse doesn't come from that passage. Instead, it is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. It is kind of what this is about, and just a good verse to memorize. So let's go ahead and say that together. And as we always do, we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference. And begin. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. And again, 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. And Father, we do thank you for the Word of God and thank you for the comfort that it gives to us. Lord, as we consider persecution, as we consider affliction, certainly we thank you that you do give us the power and certainly you give us the peace and the grace to deal with those things. And I pray that you would help our testimony to be worthy of whatever persecution, whatever anger that the devil may have, that, Lord, our testimony would stand firm, and, Lord, that we would have that target on us to be under attack from Satan and his forces of evil. So bless now this time. Teach us from your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to Revelation 1 and verse 2 as kind of an introduction. Revelation 1 and verse 2, because it's been a long time ago that we talked about that. And it says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Talking there about John, his own testimony. But he says this. He says he bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony. The word, the written word, is our Bible. It's the word of God. The testimony of Christ is referred to the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the living word, and Jesus' testimony obviously led to his death on the cross. We know Jesus died to pay for our sins, but again, it was his word. It was all he did was tell the truth. He preached the truth. The Jews didn't like it. Others didn't like it, and it offended. The truth always offends, and the Word of God is offensive to people. We're not going to get around that as much as we somehow think we can not offend by preaching or telling the truth. It does offend, and you're never going to change that. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and truth is light, and when you love darkness, light is offensive. And so Jesus died on the cross. He didn't do anything wrong. Not a thing wrong, ever. He never sinned. And yet he died on the cross. Now, John here is persecuted. Why was he persecuted? Well, the Bible, he says, he bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He bare record of the written word of God. He said, this is the truth. He bare record of the living word of God, Jesus Christ. And he said, this is where I stand. I believe in the word. I believe in the truth. And chapter 1 and verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in, notice the word, tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for, why was he there? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember, his trip to Patmos wasn't some sort of a reward that he got where he worked, and they sent him to Patmos as a nice little vacation. Remember that. He's on Patmos because he's being punished. He's on Patmos, that is persecution. The Isle of Patmos was not a vacation resort place. It was not a wonderful, fun place. It was a place of punishment. And so John says, well, my own testimony of the Word of God, the written Word, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, my testimony, that's why I'm here. That's why I've been punished. That's why I've been persecuted. And so our memory verse is 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, wait a minute. This could lead to persecution. Well, it always does. It always has, okay? There is no question about that. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. And if you're going to be afflicted, James said, if you're going to suffer persecution, let it be for the cause of Christ. Amen. Not for some sin that you did or some crime that you committed. Let it be because you stood for the truth. And again, the idea here is the testimony. Okay, we're about to talk about martyrdom, and we're talking about people dying for the cause of Christ, which again, you know, we have the idea, and that's kind of foreign to us here in America, because the worst thing, I mean, we get made fun of. The worst thing, Thanksgiving Day, your family's all gathered together, and you say, okay, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and some of the family members snicker. You know, or maybe some of the family members, oh, do we have to do that? You know, the football game's on or what, you know. And to us, it's like, wow, I'm taking my stand. Well, praise God, you are taking your stand. There are people dying in the world today for the cause of Christ. And we'll get more into that probably next week. Well, not next week, because Brother Williams will be here, but the week after that. Because there are people dying for the cause of Christ. They are dying exactly like the Bible says here in verse 9. And the persecution of the saints is very, very real to many people. You know, we are, again, God has blessed America in a great way, and we know that. And God continues to bless America. But we're not guaranteed that. And one of the things that is difficult many mornings when I'm spending my time with the Lord, either in reading His Word or in prayer, I'm thinking of what it would be like for America to be different in the sense of Muslim or communistic, or where there's real persecution, where we come to church and we're met with guards, or during the service they break in and people are massacred. And this happens daily in our world. We just don't, you know, we don't see it. We don't know it. But what's it for? Why? Well, it's for the word and the testimony. It's for standing on the word of God and standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the word and the testimony. So we come to Roman numeral 1, and I understand this is not it's not going to be the most fun or exciting thing to talk about, but it is in the Scripture, and it is true. But I don't want you to get the idea this is just the future. Because honestly, folks, this is now. It is happening today. Christians are dying for the Word and the testimony. And you and I have no guarantee. I mean, we think the Lord's coming soon. We really do. I'm excited. I think the rapture is going to happen very, very soon. But I don't know that. And you know what? Any man of God, any Christian, we're supposed to be looking every day. So we should think that. But we don't know that. It may be hundreds of years from now. We don't know. And we may suffer. I mean, real persecution. It could happen so easily. There's enough legislature to surely we at least are aware there are people that do not like us at all. Amen. That ought to be very, very obvious. And if it's not, talk to Glenn Herndon a little bit. He'll tell you about some things, or I can tell you some things. Others can tell you. There are laws that are just really getting close. Some of this homosexual stuff, because I'm going to preach the Bible. You know, because we are going to preach the Bible. We're going to keep preaching the Word of God. And God, you know, God doesn't pull punches. God doesn't try to be politically correct. Okay, God is correct. God is truth. And will that be the thing? Will it be the Muslim thing? Okay, in other words, I will stand up and say I'm not against Muslims. But Muslims are like, if they're a true Muslim, they're like any lost person on the face of this earth. They need to be saved. Now, is that hate? Well, no, I would say it's not, but there's laws being put in place that's going to call that hate. Oh, right. There are so many things, honestly, that are in the works. Of course, abortion, and pastors in other countries have gone to jail for calling it murder. There's just lots and lots of stuff that's going on. And there is no guarantee for Christians anywhere that there will not be persecution. In fact, it's almost guaranteed there's going to be persecution. So verse 9 says this, and I say all that to lead up to this, when he had opened the fifth seal. Now we're on the fifth seal. And the fifth seal, it says, I saw under the altar. And so that's why the title, the altar of martyrdom, because here's an altar, under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, there's wording that is very much the same as the verses that we just talked about, Revelation 1, 2 Timothy 1, 8. So here's wording that is very, and really, it's very common in the early church to talk about being slain for the word and for the testimony. It is just as simple as we're going to be persecuted. It is a persecution. And so as we come to this, the persecution, Roman numeral 1, the persecution of the saints, we have this testimony, and we have the understanding, if you follow this testimony, then there is going to be persecution. There is no question about that. So we just opened four seals, all right? And those four seals, the fourth, ended with death. And the first three were leading up to and included lots and lots of death taking place. Again, ultimately, there was death. And these four horsemen are the result, I believe, of man's flesh, the result of a carnality or a carnal leadership in the world. And really, it's all there was. There was no restraint because Christians are now gone. And so the result of that is going to be death. And so in verse 9, we have the fifth seal. Does anybody notice there's something that took place with all of the first four seals that does not take place with the fifth seal? Anybody notice what that is? It's not real deep. There is a difference. First seal, we talked about it very little. I'm hurt. Ah, the beast. Okay. The announcement of the beasts. First seal, a beast announced. Second seal, beast announced. Third seal. Remember the four beasts, we talked about them, angelic type beings. With the fifth seal, it doesn't, there's no beast. There's no, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw. So the fifth seal's opened and nobody has to tell him anything. John doesn't, there doesn't have to be an introduction given. And I think the reason of that, there's no voice of the four beasts. And I think the reason is because nothing different is happening. In other words, I think it's all, this is going on, this fifth seal, I think, is going on. this whole time. Because when carnal man and when the flesh is manifested, it is going to hate Christians. There's going to be a hatred for Christianity. There is going to be, so what I'm saying is, parallel with this, these four horsemen is the death of martyrs. Christians will be killed. Now, you know, somebody says, well, they'll be killed just in the mayhem and the chaos of everything else. But the Bible talks about, they're killed, they're slain for the word of God and for the testimony. In other words, this isn't just random, hey, we want to steal what you have. This is a hatred of Christianity. It is a hatred of those who get saved during the tribulation. It is a hatred. It is a violence. In fact, the word slain there is more than just they were killed. They were butchered. It is a very strong word. It is a persecution. It is on purpose. And again, so we have the four horsemen and we have man killing man. We have heathens killing heathens. But in the midst of all that, people are getting saved. We'll talk about that in a minute. People are getting saved. And those people are being viciously persecuted for the word and the testimony. Again, we're not talking about somebody breaks into their house to get their food. It's different than that. It is a strong attack against the cause of Christ, against Christianity and Christians. And so there's nothing different happening. Other than there is a focus now on Christians. Now again, what's that have to do with us? We're going to be gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe that. But let's understand that the flesh is, it's a battle in my life. Okay? Let's all be honest. It's a battle in your life too. Our flesh hates our spirit. Our flesh hates spiritual things. Our flesh, which is why we get tired. Our flesh, we get hungry. Our flesh, we desire things. You know, our flesh, it has a craving for sinfulness and sinful things. And then it also, it obviously has cravings for things that are can be sinful. But that flesh it's constantly at war with us. Well, understand, when the whole world is fleshly, it's not going to work out real well for someone who's wanting to be godly. And it's going to be a persecution that is unbelievable. Now, I think the first half of the tribulation, the persecution is bad. It obviously becomes worse the second half of the tribulation. We'll talk about that when we get there in a couple of years, if we ever do. No, but not when we get there, because we're not going to be there. But you know what I mean, when we study it. So it is simply a focus here. The fifth seal is a focus on what is happening, and that is the death of martyrs. And it only makes sense that if man is killing each other, they're going to be killing God's people too. So I broke this down into three sections, and they are this. Don't write these down yet, because it's a lot of notes. These, number one is, these saints are saved. Capital B, these saints were slain. And capital C, these saints are safe. All right? So we'll be dealing with that this week. And these saints are saved, these saints were slain, and these saints are safe. Number one, these saints are saved. It says here in verse 9 that these were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In other words, they have proclaimed that we believe the Bible, we believe the Bible is the word of God, and we believe what the Bible says to do. We have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And so they're saying, we believe God's word, and this is our word. We're telling you that we've trusted Christ. They are, somehow, that is known to people. And again, we don't seem to be in the time where you have to have the mark of the beast or any of that. That's later on. But the point is, and that's going to be going on, obviously. But here, there is a testimony. There is an identification with God and with trusting Christ as Savior. It's like us. You know, we come to Berean Baptist Church. Doesn't mean you're necessarily saved if you come to Berean Baptist Church, but we would proclaim, hey, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm not ashamed of that. I want people to know that. And so again, that's how we got saved. We heard God's word, we believed God's word, we did what God said to do, and that's how we get saved. Okay? God said it. I did what he said. I called upon the name of the Lord. I was saved. And so we have no reason to believe these people are anything different. They are saved people. Now, let's remember, though, when the rapture takes place, all the saved people are gone. Boom, like that. Amen. Gone. Now, so the question always comes to mind, and you know, if you read the Left Behind series, which I think is, now they have videos and stuff as well, which is very entertaining, but they would have you to believe, they would give you the idea that, you know, people are going to get saved left and right and everything else, and the truth is, people are going to get saved. But here's the thing that you have to be very careful, because, and obviously, as you read this passage, as you read other passages that we will come to, many will get saved during the tribulation. Many will get saved. And there's a lot of things to think about that. But here's the thing you need to remember. And go to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Because I've had, I know people have said that they have their rapture kits. And they've got, for all their family and everybody, if I'm taken away by the rapture, you know, you need to do this. I know I told you before and you refused and all this kind of stuff. Well, I'm not against any way of getting out the gospel. But 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, I want to remind you, and this is a passage about the tribulation and that. And it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay, so during the time of the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, verse 9, with all power and signs, lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? The cause, the fact that they did not receive Jesus Christ, they rejected him, they received not the love of the truth. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means if they refuse now, they will then. Now, I believe that. Again, you know, God is the one who knows all that. I don't know who that is. I don't know, you know, I've had people say, you know, I'm not interested in getting saved. I have to believe that they would be, if the rapture took place, they would be left behind, and they would then, God would send a strong delusion. Okay, so those people, if they refuse now, then they are going to believe the lie of the Antichrist and all that is going on, the spin, if you will. Why? Because they receive not the word of God. They believed not, it says in verse 12. But then who's going to get saved? You say, well, there's a lot of people in our world that have not heard. There are many. There are lots of people that have not heard how to be saved. They've not refused. And again, that's, you know, God knows who that is. God knows all the details there. I mean, it boggles my mind when I try to think about all that. But there are many left behind who have not heard, and therefore they have not rejected, and God knows who they are. Okay, Revelation 11, and we'll get there maybe next year, maybe in 2014 or something. But Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses. Now, I think it's Elijah and Enoch. The Bible does not say, so I'm not going to necessarily, other than kidding around with people. But there are two witnesses, and some would say Elijah and Moses. And again, it, you know what? The Bible doesn't say, so we can speculate all we want. But there will be two witnesses, and they are going to be preaching. And mostly their ministry will be in Israel. But the truth of the matter is, because now we see their ministry will be worldwide. They, of course, will be in Israel, but the ministry is going to be worldwide because of what? Because of the internet, because of, and whatever else might be in that day. Because, again, we can only think about our day. Look at Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24, and Matthew 24 deals with a lot of things that are exciting to think about. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, again, you know, timing and all of that is very important, but again, today, with the internet, And the left behind, I think it's left behind, that they kind of deal with the internet a little bit in more of a modern. How many of you ever read or seen the Left Behind series? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, most have. And I have some of the books. I loaned them out, and now I don't have them. Do any of you have my book? No. But anyway, I read some of it because it's kind of interesting reading. But I totally agree, I do not totally agree. But it doesn't, you know, it claims to be fictional, so it's okay, you know. I mean, it whatever. But they do kind of interweave the internet into there, and where there's and now we can see it. You know, wow, this could be certainly it would be a worldwide ministry. And if people you know, www.hereshope.com, and then they can go to it and find out how to be saved. I see people getting saved. Amen. I think they will, and I believe that they will. Well, the Bible says that many will. Chapter 7 talks about the 144,000. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you one thing, but the fact is 144,000 get saved and get trained. You know, and you know, the Bible doesn't say all about the 144,000, but they're going to get saved. They're going to go out, and they're going to tell others about the Lord. There will be people getting saved, and lots of them are going to be getting saved, and they're going to be going out, and they're going to be telling others. I believe the internet or whatever, there could, who knows? I mean, now we have, there's just so much stuff out there. I get in trouble when I start talking about it because I don't have, you know, it's just unique. But anyway, and some of this we'll cover later on. But I believe that they will preach the first half of the tribulation, and there will be it. The message will be a message of woe, and that it's kind of an interesting thing. But you know, what is it? What is going to be the surroundings? Okay, of the world at that time. Well, what have we just read? We had the four horsemen come through, and 1/4. Are going to die. Now just try to get that in your mind, you know, where there's going to be death all around, and it is going to be unbelievable. Our world is not going to be like it is today. And it is going to be chaos. It's going to be, well, you know, just think of your own home and where you live. How many Christians live around you? I mean, I think about our block right here. How many empty homes there's going to be with windows busted out? And raided and run through and stuff carried out and just left and you know, it's going to be unbelievable, and then death all around. And these witnesses are going to preach the woe, the judgment of God. And, you know, and I promise you, it is going to get people's attention. Okay, just like when the Twin Towers went down, all of a sudden everybody's paying attention. They pay attention. And you know, I understand. You know, I understand. We have, you know, you knock on a door and it's a $500,000 house and you say, you know, you need Jesus. And they look at you like, why? Why? I mean, don't look. Would you like to see my indoor swimming pool? I mean, what do you mean? And they don't understand. But you know what? When there's death all around, and when there's destruction all around and total chaos, people are going to listen. And there will be many, many get saved. And they will be absolute. Now, you talk about hatred. They are going to be very, very hated. And we'll talk about it when we get to them. By Satan will hate them. The world will hate them. But the one thing we know for sure is many are going to get saved. Ushers, we need you to come. And many, many, many will come to Jesus Christ. The message, again, every time I think about this, I think, why won't people get saved now? You know, our message is different. Again, it's not a different message. You have to be saved by the blood of Jesus. But I mean the emphasis of preaching right after the Twin Towers, you know, I mean, you could preach. There were a lot of things you could preach about, and people would pay attention, whereby they don't pay attention all the time. In fact, it lasted about 6 months, you know. But I guarantee these witnesses, they are going to be preaching, and they are going to be preaching hard, and they're going to preach the truth. And chapter 7, verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And, you know, just huge amount of people by the end of the tribulation. Chapter 7, 14, somebody says, how were they saved? I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way to be saved. You know, I've heard people say, well, during the tribulation, it's work salvation. It is never work salvation. It is not work salvation in the Old Testament. It's not work salvation in the New Testament. It's not work salvation in the tribulation. It's not work salvation in the millennium. It never is work salvation. It is always by the blood of Jesus Christ. But they will be persecuted and they will be slain for the testimony, for the word and for the testimony. But I want you to know there will be many, many saved people. You know, sometimes, and I've had, I don't know if you've ever had anybody tell you when you're soul winning, well, I'll just wait until the rapture takes place and I'll get saved after that. You ever have anybody tell you that? You know, I'll wait until everybody's gone. I see all these things happen, then I'll get saved. God says he's going to send a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. Don't reject God now. Don't reject the truth now. When will it be easier to get saved? I cannot even imagine what it would be like to get saved during the tribulation. I can't imagine. Because, you know, as we see people dying just because mankind is so carnal, we see a direct persecution against Christians. And yet, have we ever known of that in the past? How about Rome and the early church? How about Emperor Nero, Diocletian? You know, study history. Wasn't it Nero that would put Christians, put them in wax and hang them from a post and set them on fire at night and literally light the way into the city with Christians as they burnt You say, why would people be so, it's a hatred, it is violent, and again, so here you are, you're walking, you're hiding somewhere, and you see a whole street lined with bodies that were burnt alive to light the way for the king or the Antichrist, whoever it is. And then a Christian comes and says, wouldn't you like to be saved? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it is amazing. And yet they say, and I obviously it wasn't there, but they say then the Colosseum, as the Christians would be slain by the animals, wild animals that would come out and kill them, and the people watch for sport, and or the gladiators would come out, and all that's in history. They say the Christians often would gather before they're eaten by an animal or burned at a stake or whatever, and they would sing songs for the Lord Jesus Christ. And literally, people would run out of the stands and go join them and trust Christ as Savior. Again, it's an amazing thing to think about, but it seems to me that, and then, of course, you have the second half of the tribulation and the guillotine set up, and to receive Christ as Savior is to have your head cut off, which it seems to me like it'd be a whole lot easier to get saved and get baptized. Amen? I mean, okay, now, how many of you are going to follow Christ in believer's head cut off? It's inconvenient, and it's a lot tougher than wearing a little robe to go, anyway, you know. But anyway, praise the Lord. But again, I just want to, these saints are saved. Do not misunderstand the idea, yes, the rapture has taken place. Now again, I'm not saying we're not going to go through tribulation. I'm not, tribulation, not the tribulation. I'm not saying we're not going to have hard times. I'm not saying that we're not going to have persecution. We don't know that. I'm just saying that we will not go through the tribulation, and we will that anyone who rejects Jesus, they're not going to get, now they will not get saved during the tribulation. But there will be many, many, many who will get saved. There will be children that grow up in the 7 years and they'll trust Christ. There will be families that never heard the gospel. There will be people in other countries that have never heard the gospel. I know it's a shock to us that there are people out there that have never heard. There are. There are people right here in Lenawee County that have never heard. I know it's hard to imagine. Now, you know, they have some idea and they have some different things. And the Bible talks about, you know, how God puts it in our consciousness and that a God consciousness. But again, that's all up to God, and I'm glad he's got it all under control. But you know, it's hard to imagine what all is going to take place. And, you know, the Bible gives us a good picture, but yet, really, we can't. It's going to be far, far worse than anything we could imagine. Thank you so much, Father, for your love, your protection, your peace. I can only think these martyrs would have that peace that passes all understanding. I can only think that they would be like we read about the early church, and as the slaughter took place, many would be singing and praising the Lord as they died. It's hard for us to understand that. It's hard to imagine that. And yet it is a truth of history that has taken place over the years. It even happens now with people being martyred in other countries. And so I pray we'd be aware of all that. Mostly, Lord, that we would make sure in our own hearts that we believe that testimony, that word. And bless our morning service now, we pray in Jesus' name.